St. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "Finally now grow strong in the Lord. Put on the strength of his power. Put on God's armor so as to be able to resist the devil's tactics. For it is not against human enemies that we have to struggle, but it is against the sovereignties and the powers who originate the darkness of this world. We struggle against the spiritual army of evil in the heavens. This is why you must rely on God's armor, or you will not be able to put up any resistance when the worst happens. If you do not rely upon the power of God, you will not have enough resources to hold your ground." St. Paul is speaking about the reality of a world of evil, a satanic kingdom. He's talking about demonic reality, one that we too often ignore, one that we put aside and ridicule as being superstitious. And yet people who work in healing, we pray for enough people for healing, especially inner healing. And we're delving into the spiritual realm, touching the spirits of people. We soon come to realize the truth of what St. Paul wrote, that we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against sovereignties and powers, against the whole spiritual army of evil, and that these originate the darkness of this world. To work in the healing ministry is to constantly confront the reality of evil. Evil in the one sense of being deficiency, the lack of goodness, the lack of harmony in God's order, in God's world. But then also evil, which is a personal force, which is very real, in which we confront. No, I think, and from my experience, I would say that sickness has three basic origins. And depending on which three originates the illness or the sickness, we would find ourselves praying differently in each case. The first would be simply physical evil, physical sickness. Something is wrong, something is out of whack, something is not working right. It's simply a physical illness. And we would pray in a very special way for that. The second is the psychosomatic illness. The illnesses which originate somehow within the inner self, within the mind, within the psyche, within the spirit of a man. Very real illnesses, very real diseases. But somehow intertwined and interlocked with the whole inner self, with the whole unexplored depth of a person's subconscious and unconscious mind. And then the third source of illness is the demonic or the diabolical. I've come to have a very healthy respect for the black arts, witchcraft, Satan worship, with all its mixed bag of curses, spells, and hexes. Back in 1972, November, Pope Paul VI gave a talk in which he spoke of something that was very surprising at the time. He spoke about the reality of evil. He said, "What is the greatest need of the church today?" Or one of the greatest needs. He says, "The answer may perhaps surprise many. He felt that one of the greatest deeds in the church today was to come to grips with the fact that there is such a thing as a satanic kingdom, and that Satan is a very real individual." And at the time, as I look back, I remember so well, The Pope's talk was greeted with much skepticism, much ridicule, and he was called superstitious. They said he was trying to scare people, and he was dredging up medieval fantasies. And I could remember myself perhaps even joining in with a little bit of that skepticism and cynicism with which that talk was greeted. But now, with my experience in the healing ministry, I realized that he was really speaking a prophetic word, even if it wasn't welcome. I've come to experience people who have been caught up and deeply wounded by such things as black magic, voodoo, witchcraft, Satan worship. I've come to realize that there is such a thing as being cursed or hexed. And I've come to realize that we have a very definite reality here that we foolishly ignore and we foolishly deny and we ridicule only at our own risk. There is such a thing as the personal force of evil. There is such a thing as demonic reality. I think it is something that is more prevalent than most people realize, and yet at the same time a lot less prevalent than many people expect, but yet it's there. And I think there are two basic errors that you could make in terms of this kind of demonic reality. The first would be to deny or ridicule it, because the fact is that it's there, that it exists, and that it's real. And we deny it and we ridicule it only at our own risk. And I see our modern world today doing exactly that. In one sense, if you spoke about something like this in certain circles, you are ridiculed. You are met with deep skepticism and some cynicism. And yet at the same time in those same circles, there's a deep fascination with the demonic. In movies like The Exorcist, our box office smashes, in books about demonic possession and about the Antichrist and about witchcraft are bestsellers. And so there's a very deep ambivalence in our society today. On the one hand, denying the reality of such activity, and on the other hand, being deeply fascinated by it. So the first thing that I see as an error is to deny what is real, and that is the personal force of evil which exists. The second error is to go to the other extreme and be obsessed by the demonic, to see evil everywhere, and to see every problem, every illness, every tragedy, every disease, every hurt, every suffering as being caused by the intervention of the demonic, of Satan, of evil, powers of darkness, of witchcraft. And people like this become very obsessed, and they see demons everywhere. And that too is an error. And that too holds the true reality up for ridicule, because this is a tendency to glorify what should never be glorified, the satanic world. But I think if we go to the church's teaching and to the church's tradition over the ages and over the centuries, I think we find a good balance. The church teaches, first of all, that Satan does exist and he's only too real, and that there is the demonic and that it's there. But then the church goes on with the scripture to teach that Satan and the kingdom of darkness has been defeated by Jesus Christ. St. John tells us that the whole world is in the hands of the evil one, but we know that by his cross and resurrection the Lord has set us free. And we have victory over the demonic. And our lives are not caught up as mere pawns in a spiritual battle between the forces of good and the forces of evil. But we have authority over the demonic in the name of Jesus. We share in the victory of Christ. That by his cross He has defeated Satan, and by his resurrection he has gained victory for us all. The whole meaning of being baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus is that we share in his new life, and we have authority over evil in the name of Jesus. Scripture tells us to resist Satan, to stand firm and fast. And Paul tells us that we should have on our feet the footgear of the gospel. And what that basically means is when he's speaking about that kind of warfare, and he tells us to take up a sword and a shield and a helmet and a breastplate, the footgear is part of this equipment that we need to stand against evil. It was very much, I think, like in sports today, wearing cleats. The reason why soldiers wore footgear was so that they could dig in, not be pushed back. That they would be able to stand firm and fast. And St. Paul is telling us that we are not to run, to cower, to hide before evil, but to stand fast and look it square in the eye and claim victory over it. One example that's constantly used about Satan or the powers of evil is that they're very much like a chained dog. A chained dog can only do one thing to you, and that is cause you to fear. It's there to frighten you. It can cause you no harm unless you come too close. In the ministry of Jesus, we see that he did cast out demons, and that there are too many places in Scripture that refer to this to make it just a fantasy. He did cast out demons, and the casting out of demons was part of his healing ministry. Scripture makes it very clear that there was one and the same ministry of the Lord, to heal. Sometimes by touch, sometimes by command, sometimes by casting out a demon. We read, for example, that he cast out a demon that was deaf and dumb. And when the demon left, the deaf and dumb man could hear and speak. Jesus shared that ministry with his disciples. He sent them out, and he gave them that commission, that twofold commission, to heal the sick and to cast out demons. And when the disciples return to the Lord, they are simply overjoyed that the demons submit to them when they use the name of Jesus. And then Jesus, taking that same authority that was his, that he had given to his disciples, shared it with his whole church, and always again within the context of healing. Those upon whom you lay your hands will recover, and demons will submit to you when you use my name. We have that authority. Hell trembles at the name of Jesus. Jesus has won victory over all the forces of the demonic. And sometimes it is necessary in the healing ministry, or even in daily life, to stand firm and to come against the powers of evil and to break their grip on people. This is something that we don't come across all that often, but it is there. One experience I had very recently was visiting a man in the hospital, just to pray with him, to visit, and he told me about the man in the next room that he had met, that he had spoken with. And this man had been in the hospital for over 8 weeks. He had such things as a low-grade fever. He had generalized aches, pains, hurts. His blood tests came out wrong all the time, and yet they pointed to nothing, only that they were not quite right, not quite up to par. And yet the doctors, over a period of 8 months of testing and testing and testing, could find nothing wrong, could pinpoint nothing, and the man suffered, and he had great pain. And he would hurt during the night, he had sleepless nights, he had deep anxieties and fears. And when I prayed with him, I did something that I don't usually do, but I broke a curse in the name of Jesus. And as I did that, his whole body arched in the bed, and he reacted, He reacted physically and he reacted emotionally. And so I continued in that reign and I broke any curse that could have been placed on him from any source. And he relaxed. His blood counts returned to normal. His fever disappeared. His aches vanished. And within 3 days he was home. Now, I don't think that everybody in hospitals is suffering from curses, but I think it's possible that some are, and that we should be very conscious and aware of our authority, conscious and aware of the reality that we face, and the fact that we, in fact, as Christians, have victory over it. The way to pray against evil or any suspected demonic activity is to pray in the power of the blood of Jesus. In the Pentecostal churches, the power of the blood of Jesus is almost a catchword. It's a theme song, and such songs as "There's Power in the Blood" are sung constantly. And yet we know that the blood of Jesus is a very powerful prayer and a very powerful way to pray. It's in fact a great weapon against the forces of evil. Pope John the 23rd had a very deep devotion, a reverence for the blood of Jesus, and even composed a litany in its honor. There are three reasons, I think, why the blood of Jesus was so powerful against the demonic. One is that all of us are born into a state of original sin because of Adam's sin, and that by our very birth we belong, first of all, to darkness. And yet, Scripture tells us that the blood of Jesus is the price of our salvation. It is our ransom. The blood of Jesus is what brought us out of darkness into light. Secondly, we read that sin is the obstacle that keeps us from God. The one barrier that stands between men and God is sin. And the blood of Jesus was shed for the forgiveness of sin. There is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood, Scripture tells us, and the blood of Jesus is for the forgiveness of sin. And thirdly, that from Adam to Jesus, humanity was in a state of alienation from God. That the intimacy and the unity that existed between God and man in the garden has been destroyed by the sin of Adam, and that there is alienation. But the blood of Jesus is the blood of the covenant. The blood that bonds us, that unites us, that binds us to our Father. And so this blood of Jesus, which is the price of our salvation, which is shed for the forgiveness of sin, and which is the blood of the covenant, is the exact thing that has destroyed the realm and kingdom of Satan. And so praying in the blood of Jesus, or by the power of the blood of Jesus, is a very strong prayer to use against evil and suspected satanic activity. We pray something like this. We pray, Lord Jesus, by your precious blood shed for our sins and for our redemption, shield us from all danger and harm. By your most precious blood, Jesus, dissolve any bondage to the evil one. Let your precious blood flow over us and cleanse us. Let the power of your blood bring healing to our lives, to our souls, to our spirits, and to our bodies. Cover us, cleanse us, and heal us by the power, Lord Jesus, of your most precious blood.